Okay. I too feel that the Lord has given me some stuff to talk about this morning. And I was going to say for my opening remarks that I've got some good news and then I've got some bad news. The good news is I only have three scripture references to read. The bad news is that they're all an entire chapter. So I will probably only get through one, but I think it's the most important one. And I definitely believe, I know the scripture's always been there, this scripture that I'm going to read, but I definitely believe that the Lord led me to this scripture, and I will tell you why, and you will see why as we go along. I was amazed if Zerna would have asked me to pick out a song that would go along with my sermon today. Well, they all go along with my sermon because, indeed, Larry's favorite song is He Lives, and He Lives in His Heart, and He Lives in My Heart. But two of the songs that Zerna picked out this morning, and I said that this one is one of my favorites, is that song on 287, We Have an Anchor. And you know, if I was to take the time to find the scriptures and build a sermon on that thought, you could probably get several scriptures. But I'm going to read the first line, first stanza, or whatever you call them. I'm not a song person, but anyhow. And it says there, will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? And you know, we need to look at that thought each and every day of our life. You know, we talked about in our Sunday school about choices. Even though we're a good Christian and we feel like that our feet are firm upon the Word of God, as was said in our Sunday school, we still have our choice. God will never take our choice away from us. And you know, when we get out of bed every morning, we make a choice. What are we going to do? Are we going to serve God today? Or are we going to go about our business doing our own business? Or what are we going to do? And that's a choice that we need to make. And that other song that we closed with that Zerna picked out was Never Be Discouraged. I wish that I could say I'm never discouraged, but I can't say that because I become discouraged. And I guess that discouragement is what led me to my sermon today. And I'll give you a testimony and a background. If you want to open your Bibles and turn to Psalms 103, that's where I'm going to be talking about after a while. But I want to give a little background. And I know that this has been a good week, but Zerna went through 2 weeks of horrendous pain. And she couldn't even stay at work. And I'm not lifting Zerna up at all. But I'm just saying what led to my message today. And you know, she did all the right things. We prayed. She was administered to at least twice, maybe three times. I know Larry and I administered to her, I think, twice. And I administered to her once. And I prayed. I prayed throughout the day, throughout those 2 weeks. And I know that she did too. And she asked for prayers from other people. And through the course of this is what led me to this psalm that I'm going to read, but I've still got more things that I want to say. She asked me a question throughout this when she was sitting there on the couch. She said, I wonder what sin I have done that would cause this. Don't know if I got it exactly. If I got close to what you said, you remember? Oh.
I just asked you, have I been too mean?
Yeah. But anyhow, and I promptly told her, I don't believe that God punishes us for our sin by giving us a trial or pain or things like that. I don't believe that the God I know works that way. And I related to her and I asked her a question. What sin do you think Job committed that caused all the things that happened to Job? It says in that book that Job was an upright man before God, and he kept God's commandments. And yet, look at all the stuff that came upon Job. And that was because, we know the story, that was because Satan was trying to tempt Job and trying to make him do bad and do bad things. But throughout that whole ordeal, Job's anchor held. Through all those storms, it held. And I want to shift to another individual. And I was texting with our brother Mike Hitt. And I know that Mike wouldn't mind by me using his name and using what we talked about and what we said. But anyhow, I called after Zerna's ordeal. I was given this 103rd Psalm, and so I read through that. And we're going to read through it here in a minute. But in the meantime, I thought, well, I'll call and check and see how Mike and Cheryl's doing. Maybe Zerna prompted me to do that. I don't remember. But anyhow, I called him, and he answered the phone. And so we started visiting, and I said, well, Mike, how are you guys doing? Oh, we're doing okay. And we visited a little bit, and then he paused. And he says, Alan, he says, I'm not doing good. I've just got to be honest. I'm not doing good. And he commenced to tell me all of the trials and all of the problems that they're going through. Every vehicle that he owns is broke down. The vehicle that he uses to pull his backhoe to go to work is broke down and going to cost $1,000 to fix. And just he went on and on and on and all the things. And then he apologized later for unloading on me. And I told him, hey, that's what it's all about, is that we can talk to each other and unload on one another and get it off our chest. But during that conversation, I said to Mike, I want you to do two things. I said, I want you to turn to the 103rd Psalm, and I want you to read that. And he said, okay, I will. And I said, the second thing I want you to do is I want you to get, and I can't remember her name, that little girl that we, Larry and I blessed. What's her name? Anyhow, I said, I want you to get her up on your knee and have her to whistle for you. It just, when she was doing that up here at church, it just touched my heart. And so he said that he would. But I want to read later what Mike said to me. It's personal between he and I, but like I said, it's a testimony that I'm sure he won't mind me sharing. And anyhow, it says, and in saying these things, I don't want anybody to get an idea that I'm trying to toot my own horn or say that I did good. I didn't. I did only what I feel like that the Lord led me to do. And that's what Larry was saying in his prayer and in my introduction, to stand up and give what the Lord has given to you. And this is part of it. And this is what Mike said. It says, Alan, I cannot explain to you how much it meant to me when I read Psalms 103 this morning at about 3 a.m. And it sounds like he gets sleep kind of like I do whenever, you know. Says, I apologize for unloading on you yesterday with all my stuff. I guess it will help you understand what a blessing it was for you to call me with that scripture. Oh, let me pause here again, back up, and in the course of the conversation, what he said, you know, I've been praying about our condition, and he said, I've been questioning God and asking God why is this happening to me? And he says, I was really discouraged. And you know, that's when he said those things, that's exactly how I felt when Zerna was dealing with all that pain. I didn't understand. And in my silent, secret prayers, I questioned God. Why? What do we need to do? Why are you allowing this? And later I realized that I needed to repent. And I did. I repented to God for having any doubt, because I know He's aware of our pains and our aches and our problems and our troubles. But as the song said that we just sang, He's always in our heart and He never leaves us. But that's what Mike was saying, that he went through and he was really questioning, why, God, why are you causing these things? What are you doing? Where are you? Why are you not hearing me? And he said he had to repent of those things too. Anyhow, I'll pick up again read the rest of what he said. It says, I had to pause many times while I was reading it because of the tears. And that's the 103rd Psalms. The tears clouding my eyes as the Holy Spirit poured out His revelation of mercy and love and so much more. Thank you so much for being my brother in Christ and listening to His still small voice that has so much healing power in it. Hope you have a blessed day. And in another one of these emails that text messages that he sent to me, he said, you know, to tell everybody here at Collins that he loves us. And he said they couldn't come up today, but they're going to try to come up next Sunday. So I think Jules suggested that we might have dinner next Sunday. If that's all right with you ladies, you're going to be doing the cooking. And so it would be nice to have them to be able to stay. Would you give me a Kleenex? But anyhow, that is the background that led me to this scripture. And like I said, I know that scripture has always been there. I've used it in different instances and talked about it. But I believe that the Lord put that on my heart to bring to you this morning. And you know, I think not only of Mike and of Zerna, but I think of Amy and the pain that she goes through. And I know our sister Jewel, she has pain, and sometimes when we're in our study or whatever, she can't sit down because she's having pain. And so I know that we all suffer pain and we all go through those. And back to that song that is in our songbook. Will your anchor hold when these things come upon us? You know, when things are going good and things are going well, it's easy to praise God and to say, thank you, Lord, for all the good that you're doing to me. But it's difficult when you're in such pain that you cannot stand it to say, thank you, Lord, and I praise you for being with me. I know I've been there. I've had those things, and it's just difficult. Okay, I'm going to get to the scripture, and you've already turned to it. And like I said, it's the whole chapter, and the way things are going, I won't get through to the other scriptures that I had, I don't think. But anyhow, 103rd Psalm, beginning with verse 1. It says, right off. And let me just a second before I start reading that. You know, when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, and he told them, and I'm not going to go to it, or I'm not going to try to quote or say the whole thing, but I want to bring to our attention, Christ began to tell his disciples, this is the way you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And you know, when we get on our knees at night or of morning or noon or wherever we are, that's what we need to start our prayer. Not necessarily with those words, but that we would hallow the name of God and that we would honor him and praise him. God is good and he is to be praised. The scripture says that he is to be praised and he wants to be praised. God is a jealous God and he wants us to put our own feelings and our own thoughts away and to praise him. It says, and I couldn't turn to it, he is something about being praised. I can't quote it. I'm not a good quoter. So, okay, Psalms 103. You see why I'm not going to get through the other scriptures that I've got today. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And you know, we're reading, as it said there in the beginning, in my book here, it says the Psalm of David. You know, we look at David's life, and it wasn't great. David had a lot of sin in his life. He did a lot of things that he shouldn't have. But of all the things that David did in his life, he always blessed God. Did that make him a perfect person? No, it didn't. He blessed God in all that he did. And what does it say about David? That God's word says that David was a man after God's heart. Why? Because he always blessed the Lord and gave the Lord credit for all that he had. And you know, we're the same way. We may not commit those hideous sins that David did, to the point that he even committed murder, had someone killed. But yet, David praised God and he blessed God. Does that make, that shows me, I guess, that if God can forgive David when he repented, God can forgive me of whatever that I do, with the exception of denying the Holy Ghost. So that gives me hope in my life, that whenever I falter, whenever I fail, whenever I question God, that if I repent, he will forgive me. And that's what this 103rd chapter says, if I can keep going. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And I'm probably going to pause a lot of times through this scripture reading because there's a lot of thought there. And the thought that I have, and forget not all his benefits. You know, think back in your life of what God has done for you. The benefits that he has given to you because you have loved him, because you have committed your life to him, and the times that he has blessed you and healed you and lifted you up. A notebook wouldn't hold probably our blessings and all those things. So we can't forget all of our blessings, all of the benefits that God brings to us. It says verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And you know, when we pray to God about these iniquities that we have committed and ask for repentance, it says here that he forgiveth all of our iniquities. And it goes on to say, who healeth all our diseases. You know, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have some diseases as we go through life. And I look at these things and I wonder why, but I know the answer. You know, and I'm thinking mainly about cancer and stuff like that. Mankind has brought these diseases upon ourselves. We can't blame God for them. They're not a punishment from God. Mankind has caused these diseases because of our lifestyle, because rather rather our lifestyle is what we eat, or our lifestyle of what we do. You know, my dad used to tell me when I was a young strapping boy to not pick up those big old rocks and put them in the wagon or whatever I was going to do with them because they was too heavy. He told me not to lift that can of milk, which weighs 90 pounds, and when you're 10 or 12 years old and you're trying to be a man, boy, you think if you can lift a 90-pound can over a milk cooler and the lid, you know, it stood this high, you was really doing something. I thought, man, I'm quite the guy. But I've paid for that. I paid for that because I've had back surgery. I've had hip surgery. I have caused damage to myself when I was a young man and wouldn't listen because I thought I was just the greatest there was and the strongest there was. But God has helped me through all those things. Let's continue on in verse 4. Who redeemeth the life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And you know, we do get oppressed. We have discouragements, like that song said, never be discouraged, but we have discouragements. And I know that you're probably not any different or better than I am. We have things that drag us down when we see the things taking place in this nation today. They're discouraging. They can disappoint us. And I don't know, well, I do know what's going to happen. It's going to be destroyed one day. When is that going to happen? We don't know. But anyhow, we have these oppressions and things come upon us. Verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of men. You know, as we look at Moses and what God did for those people when he brought them up out of Egypt, all the miracles that God performed through Moses. And we was talking with somebody about that not too long back. Maybe it was in our study, I don't remember. But I mentioned about the serpent and how Moses threw down the staff and it turned to a serpent. And the magicians of Pharaoh, they threw their staffs down and they became serpent. What's the difference between those two things? What's the difference? Any comment of what I'm heading for? The difference is Moses was working under the influence of God. These magicians was working under the influence of Satan. That shows us that Satan has great power, more power than probably most of us realize and give him credit for. So we can see that the devil can do a lot of things that we may not expect or suspect. And that's the comparison I was trying to get to. We need to work under the influence of God. And it says in the scriptures, if we work under the influence of God, we have to know what his word says to us. Because it says at the last day, we will be judged of those words. And those words are what is contained within the scriptures, the Bible and the Book of Mormon. So we're going to be judged of those things and the works that we have done according to that. Let's move on to verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. I wish that I could say that I was slow to anger. But I'm not, and I'm not as quick-tempered as I used to be when I was younger, of course. And so my anger does not overtake me near like it used to. In fact, I don't know when the last time that I've been really, really what I would consider angry. I guess the last time that I would think about, Zerna may tell you a different story, but the time that I threw the screwdriver through the compressor cooling area of the air conditioner on our car. I got so angry and so mad trying to get something loose, and I just backed up and winged that screwdriver, and it went right through that radiator thing that runs the air conditioner. And I thought, now ain't that a fine how do you do? You just can't do that anymore. And yes, I've been angry about other things, but not like that. Not that I lost control of what I was doing. So anyhow, let's continue on. Verse 9. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. How many of you here knows what chide means? I mean, you know, we read through the scriptures, and the scripture says, well, he will not always chide. So what does that mean? I mean, pardon me? Close. Yes, no, I'd say you're pretty close there, right there. It says here, and if I highlight that, it says scold or rebuke. So yes, punish would go in there, Sharon, for sure. So scold or rebuke. And as we read these scriptures, we have to know what it is that God won't always do. And so he won't always scold us, or he won't always rebuke us. And as it says in the latter part of verse 9, neither will he keep his anger forever. You know, we know as we read the scriptures, God became angry with the house of Israel. And it says in one place in there, and I didn't look all these scriptures up, but they're there. It says, for a small time, this is God speaking, the word of God, for a small time or a short time, I turned my back upon you. And he's talking to the house of Israel. And there was a time that God turned his back upon the house of Israel. Look at all the torture and the punishment and the things that they've went through through their life, and I think mainly brought up closer to our day. Look at what all those people, they was the house of Israel, they were the Jews, what they went through during the Second World War and all the death and all the stuff that they went through. And I think that's what the scripture was talking about, that God has turned his back upon them for a time. And why did he do that? Because they were disobedient. They didn't keep his commandments like they promised. When they first come up out of the out of Egypt, they promised Moses there at that mount. They promised God, they promised Moses, which was to God, that they would keep God's commandments. Well, they didn't do it. It just was not no time until they was back to doing whatever they did. So that is the whole thing, is they did not keep God's commandments. And the same thing is to us today. You know, God will not keep his anger if we obey his commandments. And if we looked up, you know, I hear preachers talk about sometimes, well, it says that 349 times in the Bible. Well, I could do a search here and tell you how many places it tells you in the Bible and the Book of Mormon that if you keep my commandments, how many times that phrase is put in there. But it don't make any difference. It only needs to be there one time, and we need to remember, keep God's commandments. Let's continue. It says, he hath not dealt with us, and this is the main verse. And I've stopped there because I want to bring this to your attention. This is the main verse of all of those things that he has said, and what struck me and made me repent, and what struck Mike, I believe, and made him repent of his feelings and what he thought. Verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. So see, if we sin, yes, we're going to be punished because we sin, so we have to repent. But he's not going to cause us to have a headache or shoulder ache just because we've sinned, or a backache or a hip ache or lay awake all night like I did last night with my finger is not because I sin. It was just the things that happen to the body. And I hope that we don't blame God. And that was one thing I was trying to express to Zerna. He's not punishing you because you were mean and nasty or you sinned or whatever. He wasn't punishing you because of that. Because this scripture tells us that God does not do that. Now, if we continue in our sins and continue to not obey God's commandments, sure, we're going to have to face His wrath. But we're going to face His wrath in the judgment. So, verse 10 again, because like I said, I think that's the main verse of this whole scripture. Says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That is a beautiful scripture to me. It says, goes on to say, For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. And you know, we look at that word fear, and I wanted to look that up because I have my opinion of what it means. And I think fear, the many times that I see fear in the scriptures, most of the time when it's referring to God, means respect, that we need to respect God. And I looked this up here, and if I can find the definition I wanted, and they put here regard God with reverence and awe. And I think that's what this fear means, is that we regard God with reverence and awe. I don't think it means that we have to be afraid of Him and we have to cower down because we feel like that He's going to strike us down. I don't believe it's that kind of fear. My opinion. Goes on to say, talking about our sins and our transgressions again in verse 12, or still, it says, As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. And you, do you realize how far that is? How far the east is from the west? It's a long ways. It's for, you know, it's like trying to explain how long eternity is. How long is eternity? I bet you none of you can tell me, because you can't explain eternity, how long eternity is. And that's the way this scripture is, that He forgives our transgressions and casts them away as far as the east is from the west. Now, we as humans, we hold on to them. You know, we hold sin against people. Look at the thing that's going on in the news today. I'm not trying to get political, but here a man, they say, did something 36 years ago, and they're wanting to persecute him today because what he did 36 years ago. Did he do it? Did he not do it? I don't know. I wasn't there. There's two people that actually know, him and her and God. And so, God doesn't hold these things against us for 36 years and then brings them up. He doesn't say, well, Alan, now 36 years ago or 40 years ago, you did this or thus, and you took some innocent soul and got him in your car and got to drinking and whatever, caused him to sin. God doesn't operate that way, but mankind does. We want to go back in people's lives and hold against them something that they had did that was sinful, that was unrighteous, that was a transgression, whatever it might be, and want to bring those accusations up. That's the humanness in us. Verse 13, and we can consider this as a parent. It says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Here's that fear again, or I will say respect there again. And you know, as a parent, when you was bringing up your children, you know, they did something wrong and boy, I'm going to get a switch and I'm going to really lay it on them. And you probably did. and they probably need it. But did you hold that against them for the rest of their life? Absolutely not. You know, you forgot it, and let's go on to the next time. If they need chastisement again later about something else, that's fine. I think that we need to get back to chastising our children. But the world don't see it that way. And that's the way the Father works. That's the way God works. Just because we made a mistake 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, doesn't mean that God's up there and got it on a sheet. Now let's look back here, Alan. As I said a while ago, 40 years ago you did this and that wasn't good. And so I'm going to punish you for it today. God does not operate that way. He doesn't. Verse 14. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days, and this is a scripture that I've used many times in funeral services, because we look at people's lives and whether they live 50 years or whether they live 100 years, that is actually, when you come to the end of that time, it's just really a short time. I've been alive for 72 years, almost 73. Now, if I told you, give you 73 years down the road, you think, boy, that's a long time. Wow, I got to wait 73 years to get what you're going to give me? Wow, that's forever. But if you look back and say, well, 73 years was just a blink of an eye. It was just yesterday that I was just a young fella. Here, 73 years later, excuse me, 73 years later, I'm old, and it's only been a short span of time. So there's the difference, looking back or looking forward. And that's what this scripture here addresses, the frame of man and the aspect of man. Because it says, as for man, in verse 15, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. And we know that if we plant shrubbery, or not necessarily shrubbery, but we plant a flower, we know that someday that flower is going to be gone. And that's the comparison that this scripture is making here. Verse 16, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. There's that word fear again. And his righteousness unto children's children. So that goes on forever and ever. But listen closely to verse 18. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. You know, we meet every month to partake of the sacrament, and it's to remember that covenant that we have made with the Lord in the waters of baptism and promised to him that we would keep his commandments. And we have to be reminded of that, because it says in the scriptures to meet together oft to partake of the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. So we have to be reminded of that from time to time. We have to be reminded that we are supposed to keep God's commandments. We have to be reminded from time to time, almost every week, what are God's commandments and what have I done to not obey God's commandments? What am I doing that is against and opposed to God's commandments? And we need that, like I said a few Sundays ago, through the foolishness of preaching. But not only through the foolishness of preaching, on our Thursday night study class and prayer service, / prayer service that we have, to remind us that we need to serve God. When we get up of a morning, do we take time to read the words that God has left us so that we will know and understand what His Word means and how we can use it in our life? We need to search the Scriptures daily. And that's my opinion and my thinking. Verse 19, let me read 18 again. to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Not just remember them, but to remember to do them. What is it James says? To be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. And this is about a wind-up. Verse 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. And this is a scripture that I was referring to in Sunday school, that even the angels in heaven have a right to make choices. Just because they're in heaven, now people will take what I'm about to say and say, well, see there, if you get to heaven, you can still be kicked out. No, I can find you a lot of scriptures that goes against that. You can't be kicked out. But I'm talking about the angels and how a third of them chose not to follow God. They got deceived. They got whatever happened to them. I don't know. But they chose not to follow God. They chose to follow Satan, and how deceptive Satan was when he came down to the Garden of Eden, and how he deceived Eve, and then Eve went on to deceive the man, Adam. So he can be very deceptive. And that's why we have said, I said we, I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about Larry, and I've heard others do the same thing. We need to pray for discernment. I was talking to Adam Porter yesterday on the phone, and he said the same thing. We was talking about some stuff, and he said, you know, we need to pray for discernment. And we was talking about this thing that's taken place that came up out of Brazil is what we were discussing, and some other things. I mainly called him about his study class that he had. And let me pause here just a second, because I want to tell you about this, because I think it's important to look for this. Tuesday night, they have a internet study class. You can either get on Skype and participate, or you can just sit and listen on the internet, and we sit and listen. But anyhow, Adam Porter had a topic on there. I can't remember what how it was phrased, but it was a topic about China and a finding that they have found in China. And it was the scriptures and their characters. It was really amazing. The characters that they wrote, the Chinese, told the story of Genesis. And they found this, he didn't really say where, but 40-some years ago when our kids was little, Zern and I had on out the farm, we had on a program, a kids program, and they was talking about, they found this place in China, and it was a huge room. They didn't give the dimensions, they just said it was a huge room, and it was locked and sealed. Well, they unlocked it and unsealed that room, and they got in there and they opened that, and they got to examining those papers or books. I don't remember the exact detail. Scrolls, okay. And they was Christian. Well, they was scriptural, I'll put it that way, because Adam said, you know, I don't know how many of them actually was Christ, because they was before Christ, but they were religious scrolls, and it told the story about Adam and Eve, told the story that he showed us at that short time about the ark and Noah and his people. And I thought, wow, that was amazing. That's what we heard 40 years ago on that program that they found, and they didn't want it out, so they sealed it back up. And we listened for over these years to wait and hear about these scrolls and things that will come forth. Here they are. And Adam brought some of those things out. And he got it from a book. I don't remember the name of the book, but I thought it was very interesting. And that's why I called him, to let him know my testimony, our testimony of what we saw 40 years ago. So anyhow, and Adam Porter said to tell everybody hello. So hello from Adam. And I told him to tell everybody hello for us in Bradley, and he said he definitely would. Let's go to 20 again. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. That's the thing that we need to do. We need to be among those angels that hear or who keep his commandments, God's commandments, and hearken unto the voice of his word. 21. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. And I hope that we in the Church of Christ are his ministers that are still doing God's pleasures by preaching the gospel. You know, Larry and I have a charge. We're not your ruler, but we have a charge to feed the sheep, just like Christ said to Peter years ago, Peter, do you love me? You know the scripture, and he said, yes, Lord. And what did he say to Peter? Feed my sheep. That's what Larry and I try to do when we bring a sermon to you or a study class to you or just some sound advice to you. We are trying to lead the, you may be small, but listen, every soul, every single soul is important to God and in the kingdom of God. So you're important to him. He loves you and he cares for you. So that's why he has this foolishness of preaching that Larry and I do. And that's why we chastise one another, if need be. But at the same time, we need to bless and to praise one another. But most of all, we need to bless and praise God. Last verse. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And those are the words that David was prompted to pen. Like I said, the bad news is I could bring you those other scriptures that I have, but we won't do that at this time. We'll use it for another sermon sometime on down the road, maybe, depending on what the Lord brings to us. And I know what I do, and I just feel confident that I know what Larry does. When we are to preach, we pray about it. We ask God, what do you want for us to present to our little group here? Because we are responsible, he and I, to bring to you these messages to keep us obeying God's commandments and to present the sacrament to you to keep God's covenant that you have made with him. That's our responsibility. And if we don't do it, we will answer for that one day when we stand at the judgment. So you are the sheep, and we're trying to lead you, not drive you. We're trying to lead you. Anybody that has, and it amazes me of how Christ did, anybody that has dealt with sheep, you don't drive sheep. If you drive sheep, they're going to go here and there and everywhere. You lead them. And that's what the scriptures tells us to do, is to lead the sheep by good example and by good words. So I thank you. I thank Larry for his prayers. I hope that you feel as strongly as I do that the Lord led me to these things to remind us that when we sin, God's not up in heaven punishing us with a headache or with a backache or with a whatever that we might have because we did wrong. He doesn't operate that way. If we don't repent of that sin, yes, someday we're going to answer for that. But he's not going to cause all these things to come upon us because we are sinners. Scriptures tells us that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So I'm going to shut up and turn off the microphone over here and turn it over to Larry. And God bless us.
page 708. And Moroni says, behold, speaking to the Gentiles, speaking to us today, behold, I speak unto you as if ye were present, and yet ye are not. But behold, Jesus Christ hath shown you unto me, and I know your doing, and I know that ye do walk in the pride of your hearts. And there are none, save a few only, which do not lift themselves up in the pride of their hearts, unto the wearing of very fine apparel, unto envying, and strifes, and malice, and persecutions, and all manner of iniquities. I hope that we are among the few that do not lift ourselves up in the pride of our hearts, but that desire to follow after the Lord's commandments. I'm going to go over to page 771. This is the book of Moroni, chapter 8. Moroni, chapter 8, on page 771. This is Mormon speaking to his son Moroni, prior to the extinction or the destruction of the Nephites. I'm going to start with verse 30. Mormon speaking to his son Moroni, starting with verse 30. Behold, my son, I will write unto you again, if I go not out soon against the Lamanites. Behold, the pride of this nation, or the people of the Nephites, hath proven their destruction, except they should repent. Pray for them, my son, that repentance may come unto them. But behold, I fear lest the Spirit hath ceased striving with them. In this part of the land they are also seeking to put down all power and authority which cometh from God, and they are denying the Holy Ghost. I think that bears repeating as we think of our nation today. In this part of the land, they are also seeking to put down all power and authority which cometh from God, and they are denying the Holy Ghost. And after rejecting so great a knowledge, my son, they must perish soon, unto the fulfilling of the prophecies which were spoken by the prophets, as well as the words of our Savior himself. Farewell, my son, until I shall write unto you, or shall meet you again. Amen. One other short reading on the following page, page 772, Moroni chapter 9, verses 3-6. This is Mormon continuing to speak to his son Moroni, starting with verse 3. And now behold, my son, I fear lest the Lamanites shall destroy this people, for they do not repent, and Satan stirreth them up continually to anger one with another. Behold, I am laboring with them continually, and when I speak the word of God with sharpness, they tremble in anger against me. And when I use no sharpness, they harden their hearts against it. Wherefore, I fear lest the Spirit of the Lord hath ceased striving with them. For so exceedingly do they anger that it seemeth me that they have no fear of death, and they have lost their love one towards another. They have lost their love one towards another, and they thirst after blood and revenge continually. I think this is the most important. This last verse is the most important to us, us as servants and us as believers, members of this Church of Christ. And now, my beloved son, notwithstanding their hardness, let us labor diligently. For if we should cease to labor, we should be brought under condemnation. For we have a labor to perform whilst in this tabernacle of clay, that we may conquer the enemy of all righteousness and rest our souls in the kingdom of God. No matter how bad or how sinful things become, we have a commandment to labor with the people, to strive to bring people to repentance, to bring to them this gospel of the Lord in its purity. I just wanted to, I know you've probably been talking here in this local about this Brazilian situation, this second invitation to Brazil, the things that are coming out of Brazil. And I don't really have a lot to say about that. I know that Brother Joseph is heavily involved in this work in Brazil. I just want to, Brother Joe, maybe I've said this here before, I'm not sure, but the last time I heard Brother Joe Smith preach, it was here at Collins. I believe it was maybe a rally. Brother Joe preached, and he always he used a line that I've always remembered. It's not in the scriptures, but he in line with what he was giving his sermon about, he concluded by saying that, brothers and sisters, we are all called to be fruit inspectors. I always thought that was kind of a cute, we're called to be fruit inspectors. And yet, you know, from what I'm hearing from Brother Joe now, I fear that he is calling us to not inspect his fruit, but to accept what is being said at face value, and we're being urged to get behind the testimony of Brother Joe and others. And my personal opinion is I want to be a fruit inspector. If there's something that's coming out of this work in Brazil, I'm not ready right now to say it's a big phony. I know it is. I don't believe it. It's not true. And I'm not ready to say that it's of the Lord either. I want to see if there's any fruit that comes out of this. We all know that sealed portion of the Book of Mormon is going to come forth. It is going to come forth. I'm not sure whether this is that work or not. But if something comes out of this, if there's a translation that comes out of it, I want to be a fruit inspector. I want to pray about it. I want to read what comes out of it. I want to pray about it and ask the Lord for discernment about it. I'm not ready to make a judgment right now. I don't know. Many people have. Many people have made a firm judgment at this point on one side or the other. I would urge you not to do that, but to be fruit inspectors when we see what the fruit is. So I thank you. I thank you for your kind attention as usual, and it's wonderful to be with you today, and may God bless us all in the days ahead.
Shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. How many of you ever had a calf in the stall? I don't have very many farmers. Thank you, Brother Yates.
Well, this way, I did. I was brought up on the farm.
Right. So what do you have to do? If you got a calf in the stall, you're going to have to take care of them, or what's going to happen? You're going to starve to death, die of thirst, or whatever. That calf is totally dependent upon you feeding him and watering him and taking care of him. Well, that's what the Lord says we're going to be. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. That means God's going to take care of us. Now, Joy and I had a conversation similar to what Mike talked about earlier today about him and Cheryl. We're talking maybe a different approach to it, but we're talking about it wasn't about something to do away with all our electronics, but just what would happen if the government all collapsed tomorrow and there's no food in the grocery store.